Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Feeling fired up for the show today. I think we're going to have a lot of fun these 2 hours. Open forum both hours. Jimmy Akin with us both hours. Jimmy is senior apologist here at Catholic Answers, author of many things, including A Daily Defense, 365 Days Plus One to Becoming a Better Apologist. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, how's it going?
Very, very well. And it's also going to be fun today because we are going to be doing a little fundraising.
Correct.
It's the last day.
Last day of fundraising. So, crunch time. So, brief update for people.
Okay.
Yesterday, in the first hour, we had a $5,000 matching challenge. We made that. Yesterday, in the second hour, we had a $10,000 matching challenge. We made that. But both hours were down substantially from Tuesday.
Yeah,
we didn't have as much donor support as we were hoping for in both of those hours, and so when we made our second challenge, it was barely. And so now we're down to the last day. This is crunch time. We're not going to be able to talk about this for another 3 months.
We're done today.
And so we really need your support. We've got the urgency on us today to try to, you know, make up with the what we didn't make yesterday and hopefully go further to support Catholic Answers Live and all the work of Catholic Answers. And the way you can do that is by calling 888-291-8000, or you can go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com. We'll be repeating both of those throughout the show. Once again, it's 888-291-8000, and you can go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com and make your donation safely and securely online. We wanted, though, to just to demonstrate how interested we are in answering your questions, we're going to take a question now. We didn't even want to wait for a question to be screened over the phone. So in our pre-show, we asked our online viewers to give us some questions, and you're going to surprise me with one of those now.
Yes.
But this is a demonstration of how today, even though it's fundraising day, we really want to answer your questions. And so what's the first question, Cyrus Kellett?
Ronald.
Or Cyril Kellett.
Cyril Kellett, right. Ronald from Facebook asks, Jimmy, how does the Catholic Church view body tattoos?
The Catholic Church doesn't, in principle, have a problem with tattoos. Now, tattoos were prohibited under the Mosaic Law.
Oh, okay.
And so the Israelites, up to the time of Jesus, were not permitted to have them. They were a pagan practice. And to help make Israel culturally distinct from their pagan neighbors and thus help protect them from polytheism, they were not allowed. They had to do various things to differentiate themselves from pagans. And one of them was they couldn't have tattoos. But there's nothing in principle wrong with coloring your skin.
Like, okay.
You know, that's what makeup is.
You know?
And there's nothing – the church has never said makeup is wrong. And so the same applies to more permanent form of makeup, namely tattooing. Now, in saying that, I'm talking about there's nothing intrinsically wrong. There are some prudential concerns that need to be addressed. One of them is the nature of the tattoo something you really want to have on your body for the rest of your life? Because at this point, there aren't good ways of removing them. Number two, is the tattoo intrinsically wholesome? Number three, how is having this tattoo going to affect your relations? It could, for example, affect your ability to get the spouse you want or the job you want or something like that,
right.
Especially if you have very extensive tattoos. And finally, is the tattoo being administered in a safe way? Personally, you know, some of those tattoo parlors, I would be a little nervous just personally. So those are the considerations, but there's nothing in principle that's morally wrong with them. And so if you look in the Catechism of the Catholic Church or other magisterial documents, you will not find condemnations of tattoos.
Thank you very much for that question from Facebook to get us started there, Ronald. Again, I want to give the number because I'm looking at the lines, actually, and we have lots and lots of lines
open. In fact,
it
looks like they're all open right now.
For our fundraising today, this is the last day of our drive. We have a $10,000 match this hour. We struggled to make our match yesterday. We'd very much like to get started early. And so if you're if you've been considering or maybe putting off making that call to support Catholic Answers Live, 888-291-8000 is the number, 888-291-8000. You can also go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com. We are entirely dependent on our listeners to keep this apostolate afloat. We come to you just four times a year, just for a few minutes an hour for three shows over the course of 3 days, and we depend on that to supply the funding for the next quarter. And so here we are expressing our need to you. We have that match, a $10,000 match. Someone has given us a $10,000 gift on the proviso that we go out and match that $10,000.
Yeah. And we don't get that if we don't raise the money one way or another today. Yeah. I see we have our first people starting to call in on the phones. We still have lots of lines open, but thank you so much to the people who are starting to call in. The number again is 888-291-8000. Once again, it's 888-291-8000. You can also go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com. And Cy, we have some thank you gifts that we'd like to send people who are able to support us. Can you tell us about those?
Yes. If you're able to support us with a $200 one-time donation or with a recurring gift of $18 a month, so you, if you're able to set that up, that $18 a month will come to us out of your account, then we'd love to send you The Case Against Contraception, the brand new DVD from Trent Horn. It's among the materials that have been produced for the 50th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, the Catholic teaching.
Humanae Vitae.
Excuse me. This is the second time I've done that this summer. Humanae Vitae. Yep. And it's Trent's, who is just a magnificent speaker, sharing the beauty of the Catholic Church's teaching on marital love and contraception and all that. And we'd also like to send you John O'Neill, number one New York Times bestselling author, has a brand new book, The Fisherman's Tomb, The True Secret of the Vatican's Secret Search for the Tomb of St. Peter. A kind of a detective story, one that turns out it's very exciting. It's a real true story,
yeah.
And it's a very exciting story, and it turns out really, really well at the end. I think you'll just love this book. If you can make a pledge of $18 a month, we'd love to send that to you. If you are especially blessed and you are able to support us in the amount of $500 or more, in addition to those two, we'd like to send you a full set, 29 books of the 20 Answers collection, Catholic Answers 20 Answers books on faith and science, the papacy, atheism, Mary, miracles. It just goes on and on and on. 29 books. It's an apologetics library, a full apologetics library.
So if it's
for your house,
29 books, each of which has 20 answers, that would be 580 answers.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
As soon as I heard you say it.
Well, I knew you don't like doing math on the air, so I thought I'd do it for you.
Can't.
So for $500, you get more than 500 answers. That's better than an answer a dollar.
And so, that's right. And so yesterday when we were kind of struggling a bit, several folks who must be especially blessed or just ridiculously generous came through with gifts of $500 or $1,000 to help us. That's mm-hmm. what helped us get over the top. And so we would ask you, if you are in that category, give a call, 888-291-8000, 888-291-8000.
Incidentally, one of the people was a gentleman from Ohio who made a $1,000 donation in memory of Charlie Harvey, who was one of the original Catholic Answers employees 30 years ago. And he was a great guy. He's now passed on to his reward. But in Charlie's memory, it was so delightful to have someone to commemorate him in that way by giving $1,000. And maybe there's someone that you would like to commemorate, some loved one who may be a family member or a dear friend or a mentor or teacher or a religious figure, a priest or a nun who meant a lot to you and made a difference in your life. And you could call in and offer a donation in their memory, maybe a $500 donation, a $1,000 donation, or even more than that. And if you're able to make a $1,000 donation, then you'll become a member of our President's Club, which is a select giving society we have for our most blessed supporters. If you're able to donate $5,000 or more, then, and we know there are people listening who could do that, then you'll be a member of our Founder Circle, which is another select giving society. And there are various benefits to belonging to both of those giving societies. We consult them for various projects that we're looking at undertaking, and we'll be in touch with you about all those various benefits. But if you're able to make a donation of that amount, we'd very much appreciate it. And some people have, like the gentleman from Ohio who made the $1,000 donation in memory of Charlie Harvey. Other people who donated yesterday that we weren't able to thank because, you know, we had to go off the air include Regina from Ohio, who made a $100 one-time donation. Holly also made a $100 donation. Bruce from Connecticut made a $1,000 donation, so he'll be joining the President's Club automatically. Anonymous in Colorado made a $5 a month donation. And just during this show, someone from Hawthorne, Illinois has made a $1,000 donation. So that person will be in the President's Club. And that person says, keep up the good work. So thank you very much. We aim to do just that. And it's your generosity that makes it possible for us to keep up the good work. So please give us a call, 888-291-8000. Once again, it's 888-291-8000, and we're working towards that $10,000 matching challenge we have today.
Let's use it up.
Now, you notice on Tuesday during the first hour, during this hour, we had a $5,000 challenge, and on Wednesday we had a $5,000 challenge, but today it's gone up to $10,000 in the first hour, so we really need your help. Once again, 888-291-8000. That's 888-291-8000, and you can go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com.
Let's go to get some calls and do what we normally do here. If you can give us a call at 888-291-8000, let's try to finish this thing strong today. It is over one way or the other. We need your support, 888-291-8000. We go now to Christopher in Omaha listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Christopher, your question for Jimmy Akin.
Yes, Jimmy. So my question – sorry, I'm hearing an echo.
That's okay. That's known as latency.
So my question is, if you could help me understand the notion of papal infallibility just a little bit better.
Sure.
So more specifically, how do we know which pronouncements from the Pope are or are not infallible?
Okay. This is a topic that's dealt with in a number of key documents. One of them is from the First Vatican Council. Another is from the Second Vatican Council. And they're summarized in the Code of Canon Law. And one of the things the Code of Canon Law provides is that no doctrine is to be understood as infallibly defined unless it's manifestly evident that the conditions are fulfilled. So it doesn't have to just be evident. It has to be manifestly evident, which means really clear. So in any given document you're looking at, assume it is not infallible unless it's really clear that the conditions are fulfilled. Then the conditions are spelled out, and I can give you a kind of abbreviated version of them. I actually have a book that's coming out, and I just learned right before the show, actually, that the release date for the book is scheduled to be October 15th, so it's in like just a couple of months. But I have a book coming out on this subject that goes into it in a lot of detail. The book is called Teaching with Authority. I'm very much looking forward to it being out because I've been wanting to write this book for years, actually. But in short form, the Pope needs to be acting in his capacity as Pope, not just as like a private theologian, which popes can do, but he needs to be acting as the pastor and teacher of the whole church. He needs to make it clear that he's using the fullness of his authority, so not half measures or just some level of authority. He's using the fullness of his authority to define a matter for the faithful that concerns either faith or morals. So the topic is faith or morals, and he's making a statement on those, and he indicates using one form of language or another that this truth is to be definitively held by the faithful. There is no alternate view that is legitimate. This view is something that every faithful Catholic has to accept. There are no other options. And it's not very often that those conditions get fulfilled. In fact, one of the things I do in my book is I go through a number of proposed candidates for different papal documents that deal with doctrinal matters that have been suggested to be infallible. And the conclusion that I arrive at is the same one that Avery Dulles, the Cardinal Avery Dulles, who was a big scholar in this area, also arrived at, which is that most scholars view there as being about half a dozen papal documents that make dogmatic definitions.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That many?
Yeah. Well, and there's a number, and some of these documents contain more than one definition.
Uh-huh. But these are specific documents that make explicit dogmatic
definitions.
And these are
correct.
They're not councils.
They're not councils. They're from the Pope. They're all from a number of different centuries. Now, you'll notice I mentioned dogmatic definitions. Right. There are potentially other kinds of definitions, like some people would argue saint canonizations are also infallible, but that's not a dogma of the faith.
Yes, I see. Okay, Christopher?
Well, I mean, if I could follow up quickly.
Yeah.
I guess it seems somewhat to me problematic that there's no official list of which pronouncements are infallible because, mm-hmm. I mean, is it up to just the faithful to try to figure out which ones are, or are we supposed to listen to, I'm not trying to sound
right.
sarcastic, but are we supposed to listen to you, Jimmy Akin, as mm-hmm. to decide which ones are, or
so
how does a person decide or
right.
discern which ones are dogmatic, and why does the church not just provide a list of each and every one that is?
I think I understand the question. I personally think it would be great if the church did that. Now, in order to prepare such a list, it would need to do a careful scholarly review of all of these things. And I think it's possible that one day the church could do that. And personally, I would be in favor of it. The situation is somewhat analogous to canon law. Canon law in the Catholic Church, and the same is true even today in the Eastern Orthodox Church, for example, canon law was for a long time scattered all over the place
yeah.
in many different documents. And then at a certain point in the development of the life of the church, the Pope said for the Catholic Church, let's gather it all up into a key principle document called the Code of Canon Law. And there's also a parallel code now for the Eastern Catholic Churches. So those two documents summed up all of the laws that had been scattered elsewhere and put them into a clear, unified list. The same thing has kind of been done with the Catechism of the Catholic Church. But what the Catechism doesn't have is an indication for each statement of what's the authority level of this.
I see.
One day the church could do that, at least for the infallible ones. It's okay, here are the infallible things. Or it could go further and say, here's the doctrinal note for every statement in the Catechism. And I've personally done a little bit of work just as a private individual doing that kind of classification. But I think it could play a useful role, and the church may one day get there. But just like it took a long time for canon law to be officially codified,
yeah.
it could take a while before we get the code of dogmatic definitions, if you want to call it that. until that time, it is up to individuals to apply the tests, and the church has announced what the tests are. And it said here are the tests, and if it's not manifestly evident that they're met, then it's not infallible. But it's up to individuals to apply that. Typically, that work is done by scholars, people who've made a careful study of these matters. And if you haven't been able to make a careful study of these matters, then the logical thing to do would be to follow what in canon law is called the common and constant opinion of learned persons. So you would want to look to individuals like Avery Dulles,
yeah.
who has made a careful study of this, and modesty kind of makes me want to resist putting myself in the category, but the truth is I've made a really careful study of this.
Yeah.
And so you'd want to say, okay, here are Orthodox learned persons. They have studied the issue carefully. Here are the conclusions they came to. And so they're probably right about that.
Christopher, thank you so much for that call. We really appreciate it. And I don't think I said that. You don't have to be Catholic to call during open forums. And I'm very glad that you
don't, yeah.
did dial. But anyone's welcome to call. Catholic, other and even those who are not sure which they are, you're welcome to call on open forum days. I do want to say, though, we are in the very last minutes now.
Our first half hour. We're a quarter of the way through almost today's fundraising.
And this is the last day, and we have one, maybe two people on the line.
Yeah.
And so I want to stress again that if you can make a pledge of $18 a month or more, we'd love to send you two really fine gifts, and I'd like to give some of these to people right now. So if you could, if you've been considering it and you can, and you've concluded, yes, I can support Catholic Answers for $18 a month or $25 a month, or maybe you've done very well and you $50 or $100 a month, we have had those. Would you give us a call now, please, at 888-291-8000. We'll send you The Case Against Contraception, Trent Horn's brand new DVD, and we'll send you John O'Neill's brand new book, The Fisherman's Tomb, The True Story of the Vatican's Secret Search for the Tomb of St. Peter, 888-291-8000, 888-291-8000. If that is not within your means, please do not think, oh, well, you know, my contribution doesn't matter. It does. First of all, everything this hour is doubled up to $10,000. So if you're able to give five, it's going to be 10 to us. If you're able to give 10, it's going to be 20 to us. If you're one of those people who has extraordinary blessings in your life and you can give $1,000, it's going to be $2,000 to us. You just pick up the phone, dial 888-291-8000. Every single person in this building who is not now in this studio with us is picking up phones and they want to talk with you. They'll get you through really quickly. They will not keep you on the line a long time. If you want to share something about Catholic Answers with them, if you want to ask a question, or if you want to share your story, that's fine. They'll take the time to do that with you. But if you want to just get in and out real quick, dial 888-291-8000. A couple minutes, they'll have you off the phone again. 888-291-8000.
Si, I want to give you an update of how close we are to our $10,000 goal for this hour. I was able to get real-time reporting on the numbers that are coming in. And based on my calculations, I had to do a little bit of math, but it looks like we've thus far raised a little more than $2,000 towards our $10,000 goal. So we still have
a bit of a slow start.
Slow start. And that's not unexpected at the beginning of an hour, but we are coming up on a break and we really need the phone lines to fill up during that break. You're not going to miss any question answers or anything like that. And so it's going to be an ideal time to call. But if we're going to make that $10,000 challenge this hour, we do need to hear from you. The number is 888-291-8000. Once again, it's 888-291-8000. And if you prefer, you can just go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com. Your numbers will, again, show up in the totals that I'm seeing. And so please help us get to that $10,000 matching challenge goal this hour.
And we're trying to do as many calls as we can, too. We don't want to neglect our everyday job. And so we go now to Anonymous in New York City, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Thanks for downloading the app onto your phone, Anonymous. Your question for Jimmy.
Hi, thank you. I love your show. It has really influenced my life for the better.
Thank you very much.
My question is this. To me, it sometimes feels as if Christ's suffering and death may not be a great enough act to redeem all man's sins. Let me see if I can explain why I feel this way. First, many others were crucified during the early years of Christianity, just like Jesus. So his dying on the cross is not novel. Second, I'm thinking about others, such as prisoners of war, who have been tortured for lengthy periods of time. And, I'm thinking Jesus' suffering cross maybe lasted 48 hours from Holy Thursday to Holy Friday.
Actually, Anonymous, if you could be real brief, because I need to give you an answer. We have a hard break coming up really fast.
Sure. And then the pain Jesus suffered on the cross, maybe others experienced more physical pain throughout human history. So how can I be sure that his suffering
was enough?
So there are several ways of proceeding. The fact that it was enough is assured to us by divine revelation. Jesus himself says that he came to give his life for the sins of the world, and thus that means that's what he did. He paid for the sins of the world with his life. We see the same thing echoed in many passages in the New Testament that indicate Jesus died to save all men. and so his sacrifice was sufficient for all men. Subsequent theology has reflected on the matter further, and one of the key works, a work that you might be interested in looking up, was by St. Anselm of Canterbury in the Middle Ages. He wrote a book called Cur Deus Homo, which means why the God-man, or why did God become man? And he made the point that because our sins are against an infinite God, they have an infinite level of offense. They're infinitely offensive. And since we can't pay an infinite price in compensation, it required God to become a man to pay that price for us. But because Jesus is God, when he paid that price, it was of infinite value, because it was the Son of God offering the infinite value of his life to the Father as an offering of love. And so consequently, there's no limit to what the death of Jesus provided for. It had infinite value and therefore paid for the infinitely offensive sins of mankind.
May I suggest that we did a program with Father Paul Cech on Good Friday. That was March 30th of this year, on the mental sufferings of the Lord. And it's very helpful in grasping not just what the Lord suffered, but who he was, who it was that was suffering this, which is, I think, what you're saying.
Yeah.
The fact that he's God is what makes
right.
it all.
Which is why other people's sufferings, they may have contributed somewhat to their own personal sanctification,
right.
but they didn't pay the infinite price for their sins. That was something Jesus' death did uniquely because he was the God-man.
Anonymous, thank you so much for that call. 888-291-8000 is the number to call if you're willing to support Catholic Answers. We're about to head into a break. 888-291-8000.
And we've got some lines open. This is the time we need to hear from you, because we're working on that $10,000 matching challenge, and we still have a long way to go.
Tony in Texas, thank you for your $50 a month. Rosemary in Ohio, we will pray for the unborn with you. Thank you for your $50 donation. Tina in Sterling, Virginia, $25. Thank you so much. Richard in Texas, $200. We'll take a quick break and be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Catholic Answers Live would like to take this opportunity to thank our partners in airing our daily program. Please support the stations and networks that carry us each day, ensuring that we have a platform for broadcasting the show. And please bear in mind that while we do not have to pay for airtime on our affiliate stations, neither do they contribute to the operating costs we incur. It's a great relationship, but it requires that we turn to you, our devoted listeners, for your prayers and financial support to cover our ever-growing expenses. Please call 888-291-8000 right now and help to keep Catholic Answers Live strong. That's 888-291-8000. Or you can donate securely online at CatholicAnswersRadio.com. What began as a humble one-hour daily show that was carried by four radio stations has, with the generosity of many fantastic people like you, blossomed into a two-hour broadcast heard on hundreds of AM and FM stations, the Internet, Sirius XM Radio, Facebook, YouTube, and via podcast. We don't make that possible. You do. We simply cannot continue this media mission without your most generous gift today. Call 888-291-8000 or log on to CatholicAnswersRadio.com and donate now. People tell us all the time how much they depend on Catholic Answers Live to help them better learn, live, and share their faith. What they're really saying is they depend on you for that. Will you come through for them right now? It only takes a couple of minutes to make a huge difference at 888-291-8000 or CatholicAnswersRadio.com. Again, 888-291-8000 or CatholicAnswersRadio.com. No matter how much you give, be assured of our gratitude and know that God will richly bless you. Phone 888-291-8000 or go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com. It's important that you take this important step right now, today, to make sure that Catholic Answers Live is here tomorrow and for years to come. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. If you just don't understand something about the Catholic faith, Call to Communion is the show for you. Join us Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Open forum. Open forum means whether you're Catholic or not, you're welcome to call. And whatever your question about the Catholic faith, maybe about religion more generally, or a philosophical, moral question, all that is welcome. The number to call for to get your question addressed, 888-318-7884. And I say that carefully because that is not the fundraising line. 888-318-7884 puts you through to the studio here, and we'll try to our very best to get you on the line. But we are also multitasking this hour. We're asking you if you will consider supporting Catholic Answers. Our apostolate produces this program and other things, including our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus, and all kinds of stuff that you'll find on the web. And we rely entirely on donors to keep that going. We don't have radio stations. We don't have television stations. We make content for those. So in addition to supporting your local Catholic radio station or EWTN or wherever you're getting your great Catholic programming, we ask you, would you consider supporting us as well? We're on quite a few radio towers, and we have a statistic that we like to share because I think it surprises people. It certainly surprises me when I heard it, and not in a super positive way, that of all of our radio towers, if you average it out, we have 13 people per radio tower that this show broadcasts on who actually pick up the phone and call the show. So every single person who picks up the phone and calls the show and asks if they can or offers to support us, those people are so precious to us, and we'd really like you to be one of them today. Would you help us? We're in the last hours now of our pledge drive. We have a $10,000 match this hour. The number, 888-291-8000. Please fill up those lines right now, 888-291-8000. We don't want to spend a lot of time talking about the fundraising. We want to answer as many questions as we can.
Yeah, I do want to give an update, though, on where we are with respect to the $10,000 challenge for this hour, and because we're now halfway through, and we're making progress, but we're not yet there. And so I can see the lines are getting a little open. And so by all means, please help keep them full, 888-291-8000, or go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com. One of the things I mentioned on the show yesterday, I like at various points to talk about the biblical principles that underlie giving. Because this is something there's actually quite a bit of discussion about in the Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, about theology of giving. And one of the things that St. Paul notes, now Jesus himself, in talking to his apostles that he commissioned to go preach the word of God, he told them that the worker is worth his wages. And he even prohibited them when sending them out on a teaching mission from bringing their own money.
Yeah.
So that people would respond to the gospel and support their work, provide for their needs so they could go continue to preach. And so the idea that the preaching of God's word needs to be financially supported goes to Jesus himself. And St. Paul takes that principle and applies it also, saying that the one who is taught the word should share all good things. In context, it's clear he means including financial things with the one who teaches the word. So if you're in our audience and you're learning about God and his word from us, then please apply the principle that Jesus gave us, that the worker is worth his wages. Apply the principle that St. Paul gave us, that the one who learns the word should support the teacher of the word. Please help give us the resources we need to go forward and to keep preaching the word, not only so that you can benefit from it, because obviously we want you to keep benefiting from it, but so that many other people who you'll meet in heaven will benefit from it, and you'll find out, hey, my generosity helped bring this soul to heaven who might not have been here otherwise because I helped ministries like Catholic Answers keep preaching God's word. So we do need your help. Please give us a call. The number is 888-291-8000. Once again, it's 888-291-8000. We have lines that are open for you right now. Lots of people standing by. And you can go also to CatholicAnswersRadio.com.
Let's go to callers, do what we normally do. If you can make a – I'll just remind you before we do that if you can make a pledge of $20 a month, first of all, it's very helpful to us. And we'd love to send you these two gifts, The Case Against Contraception, the new DVD from Trent Horn, and The Fisherman's Tomb, the true story of the Vatican's secret search for the tomb of St. Peter. You just call 888-291-8000, pledge $18 a month or more, and we will be able to send that to you. We have on the line Ellie in New Orleans. Ellie, you are on with Jimmy Akin. Your question, please, Ellie.
What language did Adam and Eve speak?
Well, Ellie, it's a very interesting question, and I want to compliment you, Ellie, for getting right to your question.
I know.
It's so wonderful.
Nice work, Ellie.
young people frequently do that. They frequently are better question askers than older folks. In any event, to answer your question, during much of Christian history, people thought, well, maybe Adam and Eve spoke Hebrew because Hebrew is the language the Bible is written in, and so maybe they spoke Hebrew. But it never says in the Bible that they spoke Hebrew. That's something that goes beyond what Scripture claims. That was just a guess that some people had. And people made similar guesses, too, that turned out to be wrong. Like they thought, oh, when we meet the Indians in the New World, they're going to be speaking Hebrew, too. Because they're still separated from so long ago, they must be speaking some version of Hebrew. Well, they weren't.
Really?
Yeah, no,
American
they weren't.
Indians didn't speak Hebrew. Okay.
So we don't want to guess Hebrew just because it's a language that the Bible is written in or the Old Testament is written in. In fact, we have archaeological and linguistic evidence. Scholars that study language are called linguists. And we have evidence from them that Hebrew only goes back a certain ways in history. It's like English. English only goes back about 1,000 years. Before 1,000 years ago, there were no English speakers. And before a few thousand years ago, there were no Hebrew speakers either. Hebrew, like all languages, changes and develops over time. And so there was a point at which Hebrew became the language of the Israelites. But it had not been a language forever. So what would we call the language that the first human spoke? Well, linguists, that is people who study language, have a name for this language.
Oh, they do.
They do. It's called proto-world. And it's called proto because it's the first language in the world. And it's called world because everyone in the world, all of the language users in the world would have spoken it. And so since Adam and Eve were the first language users in the world, they would have spoken proto world. Now, in terms of how much do we know about that language? Well, the answer is not much. There are a few scholars who would propose that who think that we actually can recover a few words of proto-world by looking at different languages today. That if you look at languages from all over the world and what they have in common, that there are a few that look like, hey, maybe these go all the way back. And those include words like papa and mama, and also aqua for water, and also tick tick for finger, if I recall correctly.
Really?
Yeah. And obviously those aren't all English words, although some of them are, but they are found in other languages and they're broadly used in enough different languages of different kinds that at least a few scholars have proposed maybe these are some words that come down to us from proto-world. Most scholars don't think that's accurate, though. Most scholars think that we really can't know any of the words that were used in proto-world. But I mention it just because it's interesting, and a few scholars claim that. But most scholars think we really can't learn any of the words from proto-world.
So, Ellie, it sounds like Adam and Eve spoke proto-world, but we don't know what that was.
Yeah.
Is that what you were expecting, or what were you thinking?
That's what I was expecting.
Okay. Well, if you were expecting that, you probably have a promising career as a linguist. So think about that when you grow up, okay?
I see. I thought it was going to be Swahili or something like that. You know,
Swahili is another one that doesn't go all the way back. It's a fascinating language, though. It's agglutinative.
I had glutenative for lunch today. I had it sprinkled on my – is glutenative?
So it's related to the word glue.
Oh.
And just like glutinous things are kind of sticky.
Yeah.
And glue is sticky. Well, yeah. Agglutinative languages glue multiple syllables onto each other to form a word in a way that you can have like maybe an entire sentence in one really long word of a bunch of syllables.
Oh.
And you know
like,
what other
– almost like German.
Well, kind of like, but it's not. German has really long nouns.
Yeah,
but Swahili has really long words that can represent whole sentences. And you know what other languages does that?
No,
Klingon.
Oh, I had thought about that. Klingon couldn't be the first human language. So I'm pretty sure.
No,
it couldn't be.
Might be the first Klingon language.
It probably is.
Proto-Kronos.
Ellie, I'm really glad that you brought us that question. That was very helpful, and also that was a very entertaining answer. Asante, Jimmy. That means thank you in Swahili.
I was going to say you're welcome.
Oh, hey, good for you. I want to remind you, we are in the midst. Actually, I'm very encouraged at the moment because usually when we have a conversation with an interesting person like Ellie that goes on that long, we'll notice that the phone lines are not full at all. And I'm very grateful to all of you who have kept the phone lines pretty full. We're about half full right now. If you have not yet supported Catholic Answers Live during this pledge drive, if you've been thinking about doing it, maybe you've been thinking, well, let me see how they do. It's summertime, and we knew coming into this in the summertime, it is harder to get people to call in and make their donation, in part because lots of people aren't there. They're off on their vacation. Their routine is different than it usually is. And also, it's just warm, and maybe you're at the beach. You don't feel like picking up the phone, that kind of thing. But
even though now you have your phone with you on the beach.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too. It's probably waterproof, too, for lots of people. But if you've been waiting to see how do we do, well, it's been a little slow, I would say. That's one way to say it. This hour has been a bit slow.
Certainly, it could be better. Yeah. By the way, another interesting number that I recently ran across in terms of how many people have supported this radio drive. Now, how many stations are we on, Cy?
About 360.
Okay. Yeah. So thus far, this drive,
668
people have made pledges.
So that's like two.
That's like two people per station have
made
pledges.
Did you see me do math?
Yeah, you did. So Margo will be pleased.
Margo will be very impressed.
But that's not a lot. And we know there are a lot more than two people per station listening. And so please apply the principle that Jesus gave us, the worker is worth his wages. Apply St. Paul's principle that those who learn the word of God should support the teaching of God's word. Give us a call, 888-291-8000. Once again, it's 888-291-8000. It looks like we have the phone lines about 2/3 of them are open. So we got plenty of people standing by to take your call right now.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I really liked talking with Ellie that last time. Ellie wanted to know about what language did Adam and Eve speak. I want Ellie to call back sometime and ask you what language did they speak in heaven. Don't tell me the answer. I want Ellie to call back and ask that question when you're here sometime.
Okay.
Will there be an answer?
I can answer that
question. I'll be fascinated.
The answer may not be what you expect, but I can answer. I can provide an answer.
My guess, Hebrew. But I don't.
Be careful about guessing Hebrew.
Oh, well, it was the guess for the ancient language, so I thought I'd try it again. 888-291-8000 is our number for supporting Catholic Answers Live, helping to keep this program on the air. We're very grateful for those who have called and supported us. If you have not yet, we would be very grateful if you would pick up the phone and do that now. We are coming in. We're almost down to the last hour of our pledge drive this summer.
Got another quarter hour this hour.
888-291-8000. You can go to Catholic Answers Radio. .com. They did a completely revamped donation page there.
To make it easier.
It's easy, it's safe, it's secure, and it's really quick. So if you prefer to do that, I think it works on your phone. It's mobile. What'd you call it?
Mobile
responsive, or you can just do it on your computer. Or if you just want to take care of it real quick, give a call, 888-291-8000, and they'll get you on and off that line pretty quick. If you can make a recurring donation of $18 or more, maybe you can do $20 a month or something like that. We'd love to send you The Case Against Contraception, Trent Horn's brand new DVD, and this exciting book from John O'Neill, The Fisherman's Tomb, The True Story of the Vatican's Secret Search for the Tomb of St. Peter. 888-291-8000. We're going to take lots of calls in the remainder of the show, or we're going to do our very best to take calls. And so I just want to give out the number and move to calls. So I'm looking at the monitor to see if those lines are filling up. 888-291-8000 is the number. Jimmy, shall we go back to calls?
Let's.
All right. Let us go to Cody in Lafayette, Louisiana. Cody, you are on with Jimmy Akin. Your question, please.
So in conversation, I was called illogical, and it was about the Immaculate Conception. Okay. And so the question that was presented was, if God was able to preserve Mary from the sins of her parents, mm-hmm. then why wasn't he able to preserve Jesus from the sins of Mary?
He could have. This is whoever you were speaking with has a misconception. Sometimes you'll hear people say, well, God had to have Mary immaculately conceived, free from all stain of original sin, because otherwise she would have tainted Jesus somehow, and he couldn't have been born except from an immaculate mother. And that is not church teaching. That's an idea that some people have, but it's a false idea. God is omnipotent, which means he can do anything that is logically possible. So he could have had Jesus born in human form from any woman he wanted. It is not necessary that Jesus's mother be pure. If he wanted to make a certain kind of statement about the power of redemption over human sin, he could have chosen to have Jesus be born of a prostitute. But it would have interfered if he'd done that. It would have interfered with the message that Jesus is uniquely God's son, because prostitutes sleep with all kinds of men. And the fact that Jesus had a virgin mother shows that he had no human father, so he must be the son of God. So it would have interfered with that other message. And so he chose to have Mary not only be a virgin, but he also chose to have her protected from all stain of original sin as a way of making her a more fitting mother for Jesus. So, you know, there should be something unusual. It's fitting for there to be something unusual about the mother of the Son of God rather than just any old woman. Yeah. And whether she's an extra sinner or an extra saint, you would expect there to be something unusual. And God chose the extra saint route as a way of illustrating the specialness of his son and having a mother that in a human way corresponds to the specialness of his son, and that also serves as an icon of what we will all one day be, because through the redemption Jesus has provided, God will make all of us one day stainless or immaculate and free all of us from all of the effects of original sin in heaven. So Mary is an icon of what we'll all be, but it wasn't necessary. God had the power to have Jesus be born any way he chose, but this was a fitting way, and this happens to be the way that he chose.
Cody, thank you so much for that question. It is open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. If I may just say, Jimmy, real quick, sometimes I hear people say that Jesus had to die on the cross to save us from our sins as well, and that's too much of a claim too, isn't it?
From a certain point of view.
Oh, I see. Okay.
The given
young Padawan.
Yeah. The given the way God had chosen to set up the economy of salvation.
Right. Okay.
Including all of the messianic prophecies that he gave that his son would die.
Yeah.
It was necessary from that perspective.
In order to fulfill
these prophecies. So it's legitimate to say that. But from a broader perspective, could God have chosen a means of redeeming us other than the cross? Yes, he could have. So from that broader perspective, it's not necessary. He could have done it another way, which is something that Thomas Aquinas talks about. So you'll find that many of the truths we hold most dear depend greatly on our perspective.
I like to take the broader perspective.
Uh-huh.
When it works, when it doesn't, I'll take the narrower perspective. Hey, I want to give out that number again. About half the lines opened up again. Lots of folks just called. Thank you so much, those of you who called. We've had about two people. This is an interesting way to think about it, Jimmy, that you've given me. About two people per station thus far agreed to sponsor us, support us during this drive. Let's get that up to three maybe, could we? 888-291-8000. That will really go a long way to us being settled and funded for the next 3 months. 888-291-8000 is that number. We go now to Paco in Auburn, New York, watching on Facebook. Paco, thank you so much for joining us on Facebook. Your question for Jimmy.
Hi. Well, I was watching a debate with James White, and he was arguing that the Catholic priesthood is not biblical, and the main substance of his argument was to claim that in the New Testament, the term bishop or overseer and priest or elder is actually referring to a single office.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on and says that it wasn't until maybe 300 years after Christ that a distinction was made between those offices. And I was wondering,
dude,
if it is true that in the New Testament era, or in the New Testament itself, they refer to a single office, and if there is any earlier documentation in the record for a distinction before, like, the 4th century.
Okay, I'd be very surprised if he said that there wasn't a distinction until the 4th century. But yeah, I hadn't heard what he said, so maybe. But I'd be very surprised, because I think he would know the history of this doctrine a little better than that. In terms of the way the offices developed, the terminology that we have in the New Testament is somewhat fluid as the early Christian ministry and its offices developed. You had all of the terms that are used for offices like bishop, priest, deacon, and so forth. The corresponding Greek terms all had other uses. So the word episkopos just meant overseer. Well, that could be a guy at a construction site who oversaw other people. The word presbyteros or presbyter, which eventually became anglicized as priest, that word just meant an old man or even a man from the ancient world. It meant elder, and that had a secular usage as well. Diakonos, the word for deacon, meant servant or minister. And so they all had secular uses, and then they came to be applied to these ministerial offices, but they were initially quite fluid. And so you find, for example, even the authors of the New Testament applying these lower office terms to themselves. Paul at one point refers to himself as a deacon because he's a minister of God's word. Well, he's not a deacon. He's an apostle.
Yeah.
But he is also, in this other sense, a minister of God's word, and so he can use the word diakonos for himself. Similarly, you have Peter at one point describing himself as a fellow elder, even though elder is one of the lower offices and he's actually an apostle. So there was a lot of fluidity in how these terms got used. Initially, and we see this from the pastoral epistles in particular, you did have overlap in the way episkopos or bishop and presbyteros or priest or elder were used. They were used for the same office at the time that the pastoral epistles were written, which is the mid AD 60s, so just after the middle of the first century. However, over the course of time, there came to be a distinction. It's a fascinating study of exactly how this happened, but in terms of when it happened, there came to be a distinction between priests and bishops in the late first century. And the reason we know that is because in the letters of Ignatius of Antioch, which are written around the year 108, so just after the turn of the first century, he's writing letters to multiple churches and talking to them as having bishops, priests, and deacons. He's greeting bishops by name, different than the priests he greets. And he even says that unless a group has a bishop, priest, and a deacon, it doesn't count as a church.
Mm-hmm.
So he's seeing this. He says this applies in his home area in Syria. He's writing to churches primarily in Asia Minor. And so in Western Turkey. And so we see that this was already spread all over the Roman world from one end to the other, where you have churches with bishops, priests, and deacons at the beginning of the second century. So that means the distinction had to occur during the late first century after the pastoral epistles and before the epistles of Ignatius.
And we will have to leave it there. I hope that was helpful. Paco, really appreciate your call. I'll give out the number again as we approach the top of the hour. Maybe at the very top of the hour when we take a break, we're not here for a few minutes.
Great time to call.
Yeah. And yeah. Everyone will be at their desk taking calls. 888-291-8000 is that number. 888-291-8000. We are now coming into the very end of our pledge drive. And we won't come and ask you for money again for 3 months. We'll leave you alone. But
we have only 1 hour to talk about this. So we really need to hear from you. We've got lots of lines open. They're only about a quarter full now. They're three quarter open. Give us a call. The number is 888-291-8000. You can also go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com. Once again, it's 888-291-8000, and you can go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com. Remember what St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, God loves a cheerful giver, and he also promises that he'll reward those who support the work of the preaching of his word. So by supporting the work of Catholic Answers, you will be gaining an eternal reward. And Cy, I know you don't like to do math on the air, but how much time is eternity?
All of it.
And in numerical
infinite.
Terms, infinite. So if you
more
receive an eternal reward, it's going to be an infinite reward. So
that's an infinite return on investment.
That's right. You can make a finite investment and get an infinite return by calling 888-291-8000. Once again, it's 888-291-8000.
All right. They're all at their phones. The entire staff at Catholic Answers are at their phones awaiting your call. Give them a call, 888-291-8000. Michael from Amherst, New York, thank you for your $1,000 donation. $500 donation. I don't have a name here, but this says Catholic Answers brought his wife back into the church. We're happy to hear it.
Praise
Susan
God.
In Michigan, $10 a month. God bless you, Susan. Thank you.
Pray
and
for
we're
her
praying
job
for
interview.
Your, we,
yeah.
we will do it. Jose in Texas, praying for fallen away Catholics. We're praying with you, Jose. Thank you for your $30 donation. Tim in Livonia, Michigan, $50 a month. Tim, thank you so much. 888-291-8000, the number. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live, open forum right after this.